Today on Real Life Radio.
And I'm deficient in this area and I must change. I need to choose to start thanking God for the cloudy days and the sunny days, cold days and warm days, days when people are nice to me and days when people are mean to me. You know why? He's on the throne and he loves me no matter what.
Welcome to Real Life Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Life Radio, Pastor Jack now continues his series called The Book of Revelation with the message titled, On Your Mark, Get Set, Fall Down. You know, in the book of Revelation, the Apostle John's been telling us about heaven and about the awesome things that will happen there. You see, Jesus alone is the Savior, and heaven is a place where people who love to worship him will go. In the meantime, we're to be on our mark by having an active day-by-day living relationship with Jesus himself. To get set means to have a biblical understanding that Jesus is coming back just like he promised, and to fall down is to have the overwhelming understanding that Jesus is worthy of our adoration. So today on this part of the message, Pastor Jack goes on to say that our deliverance from sorrow, from pain and loneliness will cause us to sing out loud with thanksgiving in our hearts. But the most awesome part is that when we worship and sing praises to the Lord, we connect. We actually connect with our Savior, Jesus Christ, personally. And now in his message called On Your Mark, Get Set, Fall Down, Part 1, here's pastor and Bible teacher, Jack Hibbs.
Satan can't repent. Even the godly angels can't sing what you and I sing about. They can't sing a song of redemption. They can't say, you know, you've delivered us from every kindred, tribe, tongue, and nation of the earth. We were lost in the world. We had no hope. You bought us with your blood. Angels can't sing that. And this so convicts me that when I come to sing, I'm to be singing to my Jesus. I'm to be focused and locked on, you know, on him. Singing. See, what's the big deal about singing? Well, there's no big deal about singing unless you have an object of your affection who is worthy. And I want to suggest to you this morning, it's Jesus Christ, and you ought to sing to him. Oh, right, I'll sing to him. No, that's not what I mean. Let me put it to you differently. You must sing to him. Well, maybe that's not coming across quite well. You have to sing to him. Hey, Pastor, you're upsetting me. Don't tell me what to do. Let me put it to you maybe this way. You have to, you must, you got to, you will. Not because someone's going to bend your arm in heaven and say, sing. No, it's because there will come a day, and I don't care if you're a believer or not, you can die a non-believer, and just before you're carted off into an eternal darkness, you will see the glories of God. And according to the Bible says you will bow your knee and you will say that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. And you know what? You will do it not because someone's going to put a spiritual pistol to your head and make you say it. You must say it because you have to say it because you can't deny it. You will agree with it. Here's the fine print. Here's the catch. You must agree to that and say it now before you die. Because the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 9, verse 27, it's appointed unto every man once to die, and then comes their judgment. There's no second chance. Nowhere found in Scripture. Now's the time. That's a serious thing. Worshiping him. Now we're almost done. We'll go through some verses here. I want you to write these down. And remember, when I give you these scriptures, keep in mind that the moon can't sing. As beautiful as it is, can't sing. Jupiter, I think Jupiter is very cool looking. As fantastic as that place is, it can't sing. It can't write a poem. They're not going to land these, celestial spaceships anywhere, and there's going to be a little poem there written by Jupiter. As complex as all that stuff is, It's nothing compared to who you and I are and what God has made us to do in this life, to worship Him. Isn't it interesting that music is such a powerful tool? But how much more when it's directed to Him? Psalm 100, verse 4. Psalm 100, verse 4. Enter into His gates with thanksgiving and into His courts with praise. Be thankful to Him and bless His name. That's a command. Did everybody hear that? Jot it down. Enter into His gates with thanksgiving. Thank you. When's the last time we stopped and said, thank you, Lord? Most of the time He's hearing from me, Lord, I'm almost out of gas. Enter. Think about it. Park your car. Come in here. I mean, I'm joking right now about it, but our heart on the inside should be, woohoo, all right, going to church. Man, I'm going to worship. I'm going to get together with God's people, and I'm going to worship. And I'm going to praise Him together. I'm going to enter into His courts with thanksgiving. Thank you, Lord. Listen. Thank you, Lord, that I don't have tubes hanging out of me, that my legs are working, and I got here under my own power. But what if, how many of you ladies heard Terry Vella this week, who has spent most of her life in suffering with tubes and everything hanging out, and says, I will enter into the gates with thanksgiving. Hey, Terry, excuse me, haven't you noticed you've had like major cancers all your life? Dear, haven't you noticed that, you know, at the expense of your pain and suffering and chemo and your flesh being burned off because of treatment, that doctors have heard the gospel of Jesus Christ? Isn't that going a little bit too far? And her attitude, blessed be the name of the Lord. When I talk to that dear lady, I wonder if I know the same Jesus Christ that she knows. I get bummed out if I get a hangnail. Oh, this must be the tribulation. My hard drive's acting up. There's people suffering. Enter in His courts with thanksgiving and with praise. Psalm 9, verse 1. I will praise You, O Lord, with my whole heart. I will tell of all Your marvelous works. I will be glad and rejoice in You. I will sing praise to Your name, O Most High. That's a Christian. And I'm deficient in this area and I must change. I need to choose to start thanking God for the cloudy days and the sunny days, cold days and warm days, days when people are nice to me and days when people are mean to me. You know why? He's on the throne. And He loves me no matter what. And He loves you no matter what. Psalm 35:18. I will give Thee thanks in the great congregation. I will praise Thee among the nations. Psalm 52, verse 9. I will praise You forever because You have done it. And in the presence of Your saints, I will wait on Your name, for it is good. Psalm 57, verse 9. I will praise You, O Lord, among the peoples. I will sing to You among the nations. You hear the repetition of this? Psalm 118, verse 21. I will praise You, for You have answered me, and I have, or You have become my salvation. Psalm 138, verse 1. I will praise You with my whole heart before the idols. I will sing praises to You. I will worship toward Your holy temple and praise Your name for Your loving kindness and Your truth. For You have magnified Your word even above Your own name. What a tremendous thing. On your mark, He tells us, look at verse 10. We'll wrap it up here. On your mark, making it this, Jesus Christ is returning to the earth. Three things. Is He your affection? Is He your object of worship? And do you know that He's returning to earth? So get on your mark. They sang this song and it keeps going. And it says in verse 10, and You've made us to be kings and priests to our God, and we shall reign on the earth. You know, a better translation is this. Some ancient scholars have put it this way. You have made us a kingdom. Priest we are to God, and we shall reign on the earth. I really like that in light of the fact that Christians really have no real place in this world that's home. You know what I'm talking about? People have their kingdoms and their domains, but doesn't the Bible say that we as Christians are just pilgrims passing through? You ever look around this world and you realize as you go through the Bible and you're reading the scriptures and as we learn more about heaven and where we're going and the glories of God and what we ought to be doing now, you know, to bring as many men and women and boys and girls to heaven with us and all of those things. And you see some of the things that are advertised on TV. I mean, don't you almost kind of laugh? I mean, you just got to laugh. Because if I don't have this thing or that thing, I'm a loser, man. I'm a nothing. Well, according to the Bible, it's Jesus Christ who has made us participants, heirs to his kingdom, regardless of how the world goes, my friend, right now in our age. We're coming up on a tremendous year. We're in a tremendous year. Please understand that when the scripture says that when Jesus Christ here in verse 10, he has made us kings and priests to our God, he shall reign, we shall reign with him on the earth. Government does not work right. Even though God's put it into place, okay? The governments that are and the people who are in authority, God puts there. That's what he says. But it won't work right until he comes. Government only works when God, in fact, frankly, it's called a theocracy. When God rules, it's well. But until he comes, there's human government in power. And in this year, you're going to be, as I saw yesterday, asked to, you know, get ready for voting. And you'll have the opportunity here to register to vote. And there's local elections and there's the national election. And I wonder where, even though it's all fallen and goofed up, God has placed this in our custody to care for. There's men and women dying to establish a form of government in another country whereby those people will have the opportunity to exercise freedom and vote. You may care less about that. I don't see how. I hope not. But there are many American and other nations, 25 of them, in the coalition giving their life that others might have the opportunity to exercise freedom. We as Americans, we've grown tired of freedom, I think. We don't fight much for it anymore. We don't defend it much anymore. I cannot thank enough those that are warring in other countries to bring the opportunity to vote for people. Our nation was born in a fury that we might worship God freely and also have the choice to vote. I don't know if you ever think about that. Last week had a chance to pray with a man, wrap him up in your arms and pray for him because he was going to go as a U.S. Army captain. He was heading off to provide helicopter intelligence and support for the war on terrorism there and the liberation of Iraq. Loves the Lord Jesus Christ. Knows his Bible. And it's what he wants to do. This coming year, you're going to be able to cast a vote. And I'm wondering, will you take advantage of the opportunity provided by spilled blood of history gone by? Will you do it? Will you pray first and then go do it? And as I thought about that, I thought, how often maybe we mindlessly wander into a church and the worship group is singing or whatever's taking place and our mind's not in it, our hearts are not there. We need to exercise that. We need to vote. And in the end, in glory, the real Christians will stand before the throne of God. And I know that stabs us in the heart. And I know we want to criticize even the challenge like that. Well, I'm not going to come back to this church. He put me in the hot spot. I had nothing to do with it. If the Lord is saying to you, the hour is late, love me with all your heart. Remove the idols from your life and fall down and worship me. On your mark, put me first. like I am in heaven. If he's telling us to do that, what a seamless transition that's going to be when we get called upward, huh? What a glorious moment that will be. Let's pray. Father in heaven, Father in heaven, holy be your name. Your kingdom come in our lives, in our homes, marriages, relationships, our children, our worship, our living. Heavenly Father, I ask you, Lord, now in Jesus' name, that we would be a church, I would be a pastor. Way before I'm a pastor, I'm one of your kids. I'm asking you, Lord, with my brothers and sisters now, that we'd rededicate our lives to put Jesus first as the number one object of our affection, and to literally act it out in acts of worship. And Lord, to live daily a life on the mark, because you could return at any moment. Oh, Heavenly Father, peel back. Take, as it were, a razor blade if necessary, and just cut that skin back. And we can even watch it peel off, because it doesn't hurt. It's dead. It's calloused. It's built up over the years. It has no feeling whatsoever. It's gray or white or whatever. It's cold and dead. Lord, take your sword and peel back the dead flesh until, Lord, we begin to feel again what it feels like to be dependent upon you, to be desperate, to wrestle with you and say, Lord, if you don't touch me, if you don't bless me, I will not let you go. To come before him and hear the word and to read it like we've never heard it or read it before. Lord, you've blessed us and made us a rich people. But none of those things are being translated to heaven. There'll be no debris in heaven. But Lord, in all that we have and all that we do, we ask of you, Father, that you would dedicate it unto your desires. Lord, stop us from having our plan. Lord, lead us and drive us like a wind would push a ship across the sea. Lord, fill our sails, as it were, with your Spirit's wind. And may all that we do be done to the glory of God. And while we remain in an attitude of prayer, while Christians are praying right now, there is an opportunity now for you to make a decision for Jesus Christ. You can not only affect eternity now by saying yes to his Lordship, but in a moment we're going to be worshiping. And right now Christians are praying. The stage is set. The stands are filled. The host of witnesses are looking on. And something's about to change. You've lost the sight of heaven. You have forgotten that it's real. Jesus has been more cursed than praised. And you want to change all that now. You're waking up to the fact that you know you can't save yourself from your sins. You're getting weaker by the day. And you're losing those resources of self-provision. And you're getting stripped. And that may be the very thing that brought you here today. I want you to know God's been calling you. And with every peal of this or that, it's to get your attention for this one thing, that Jesus Christ is God come to earth in human skin, lived 33 years, raised the dead and cleansed the lepers and healed the sick, fulfilled the scripture, was beaten, died on the cross for your sins, and 3 days later rose again from the dead, exactly like the Bible said he would do. And for all those who put their trust in him, all those who vote for him, would have eternal life. But you have to come to Him. He will not bend your arm. While heads are bowed and eyes are closed this morning, is that your decision today? Is that your vote? If that's your vote this morning, will you put your hand high and I can see it, and the holy angels will see it, and God will see it, and I'll bear witness to the fact that you've done it here in this earth at this time. God bless you. Several of you in the back, you can put your hand down to my left. God bless you. And the Bible says, by the way, young lady, the Lord stores your tears in His bottle. In the very back, God bless you, sir. Anyone else, you can put your hand down here, young lady up front. You're voting for Christ. You're saying, Jesus, take my life now. Just live it through me. I don't want to be in control anymore of it. You do it. Anyone else this morning? God bless you. God bless you here to my left, you to my right. Those of you who've raised your hands, Christians, join with them. It gives them boldness and strength, and it's an awesome thing to hear. If you mean it, pray this prayer. Those of you who've raised your hands, dear Lord Jesus, forgive me of my sins. Write my name in your Lamb's Book of Life. Receive me today. I believe you died and rose again, and I receive you now as my Lord and Savior. In Jesus' name I thank you. Amen.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs here on Real Life Radio in his message called On Your Mark, Get Set, Fall Down, Part 1. Thanks for being with us today. On Your Mark, Get Set, Fall Down, Part 1 is part of Pastor Jack's series called The Book of Revelation. It's a series that takes a look at the final book of the New Testament and the unveiling of future events for us and for the world. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Life Radio. Pastor Jack, let's talk about this movie that's come out, Genesis, Paradise Lost.
Listen, this is remarkably timely and powerful for this reason. If you look at Genesis chapter 1, if you just read it slowly today in the 21st century, everything that you and I see that's under attack today, you can point to Genesis 1.
Yeah, good stuff.
The authority of God's word, the fact that God created us, that God invented marriage, family, the unit, which means, by the way, comes culture. From that comes nations. If you remove Genesis 1:1, then everything goes off and you don't need the rest of your Bible, because then nothing's true. So the wonderful producers of this film put this argument together in an incredibly well done graphic. In fact, I think it's won some awards because of its technology applied. It is a remarkable testimony and witness. In fact, I think it would be great for all of you to get a copy of it and to invite your neighbors to watch it. Your kids, your students in your family, right? Your high schoolers, junior high, your college kids.
Yep.
Get it out there, because it is so powerful and it strengthens the validity of God's word, because it takes science, which is authored by God, and the Bible that you have in your living room, right, which is authored by God, and it shows you that there is no contradiction between those two, because it's the same author.
Mm-hmm.
And I tell you what, I don't like to promote things too often. There's not much to promote out there in this world. But I can tell you right now, I am promoting this excellent work. Please get your hands on it and enjoy it and share it. And you can do that, of course, by going to jackhibbs.com, where you can get it in various modes of entertainment. You can get a DVD for those of you who have DVDs, or you can view it on demand. You can find out how to do that right there at jackhibbs.com. So that's what I would do. It's a great work, highly promoted. Well done.
Genesis, Paradise Lost is available for a gift of any amount at our website, jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. This program is made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Life Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time here on Real Life Radio.